Thanks, Liz. There's a lot of activity still in the room, isn't there? It's not a conference, so it's a bunch of crazy people getting together to experience God. Only from heaven's perspective, we're beautiful, not crazy, but maybe from the world we look crazy. But there's something still going on in the room. I'm always interested in watching what God does on things. So if you want teaching, you should probably get Thelma's recording, because it was absolutely extraordinary, and she only did about a tenth of it. So, but that sets something up. There's something going on in the room. I don't know whether you realize it, but you didn't come here by mistake. You've either been dragged here, or something else is going on. But there's a purpose in you being here, and that's for change, isn't it? You know, God's always changing us. From what I can see, the best way to describe it is God is a verb. God is active. Everything in God's kingdom is active. There's not staticness in the kingdom. There's always activity. There's always movement and motion. The wheels within a wheel. There's motion. You think an atom is a solid sphere of matter, but actually it's electrons and whatever else spinning violently around something, and that's reality. So what looks static is actually constantly vibrating and moving, and we're in an active process here. He's shifting you just by you sitting on that seat and opening up your heart. Very little of this will hit your conscious brain from the get-go, because that's how God works. He goes much deeper than that. Your brain is a terrible master, but it's a good servant, and it's designed to catch up with what the Holy Spirit has done inside you to enable you to ground it and communicate it to others and to release it more effectively. But what God does is much deeper than that. We often struggle for words to describe it. Certainly, languages are rubbish, aren't they? It's much better, the communication in the heavens, but on earth we're stuck with English, German, Malaysian, yeah, whatever, and it's very limited language. It's not going to express what is going on. And it's still going on in the room. I'm trying to do three things at once, and I'm really, I'm getting better at it. But you're not going to be the same. It's amazing that you've come from the Isle of Wight. That's extraordinary, because there's enough presence on you to totally transform the Isle of Wight. I mean, but maybe it wouldn't be how we would look at it. We would think in terms of politics, stuff like that. No, there's kingdom on you. And that's extraordinary that you've come from the Isle of Wight. As I was praying, I was looking at the south of England before I came here and looking at what's going on. And you are from the Isle of Wight, you three, aren't you? You do have two. You seem to have an Isle of Wight anointing on you. And we're here to carry transformation within us. It's already within us, but release it to carry it upon us to then affect around us. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be in your body. You would have left if you had any sense. So we're here to have a legal right to transform stuff around us. And that starts in you. So you're transformational. You carry the transforming work of the Spirit. That's, you're transformed by the renewing. That is the utter changing of your deep processing being. When it says mind, it doesn't mean brain. Deep processing being. There's like a turmoil going on within us as God shapes us. We think we just sit there and we're all like, but actually there's a deep movement. He's working within you to transform you, so you become a completely different expression of the reality inside you. English is rubbish to explain this, but that means you're dangerous. And wow, sorry, I just went to the Isle of Wight. Man. There's a lot of turmoil going on, isn't there, in politics? Have you noticed that? But of course, that all happened many years ago, several years ago in the spirit. There's been a shift, which is really good, because it means boundaries will shift. So that means political boundaries will shift, but our personal boundaries, what we think is possible, will shift. The way we relate to people, connections, relationships will shift. We're in that time, and it's not a time to be asleep. It's a time to wake up. So if you're here, I'm going to assume that you're here because the Holy Spirit is calling you awake to a different level of who you are. That's why I'm here. I'd rather be like two or three of us in a front room and talking and then praying, but we're in a big meeting. But it's the same level of intimacy that can go on right now. And you won't be the same at the end of these 2 days. But it's too late. I mean, it's too late. It's seriously, it's already too late. The shift gone on. It's already happened. And it's not based on intellectual grasp of it. That will come much later, which hurts your head. But you will be different when you go back because of the presence that is on you, that is the activity that has been engaged in this room. I was watching the angelic movement, I don't know which session it was in there. No, Thelma said it, that I saw, this is weird, isn't it? I mean, this is just weird. I saw David come in and start to engage with the worship immediately afterwards. Nigel started to sing some song about David worshipping. And of course, we're in extraordinary times. Well, if you think you're going to learn what you need to learn by the way we've always learned, you're missing it. I mean, it's going to be so much more extraordinary than that. So we have the great cloud of witnesses is pressing in to equip us to be part of that. Now, isn't this weird stuff? Because they want their inheritance too. We get it together. There is only one body. There is only one church in their bodies and out of their bodies. There is only one church. You can't be part of one church and not part of another, as was said before. You're part of church. So the realization is starting to hit us. This is not about walls and written constitutions and laws and what makes up a charity and whether you're... Church is not a charity. Jesus only has one body. So what's happening is not unity being worked out. There's a unity that's already happened being expressed. And if you start to get on the right vibration, you start to realize that we're all connected, and we're connected to our brothers and sisters all over the world. That's a sign that something, we're having reformation. That means man's systems of church will fail. Jesus, that is such good news. But it will be so confusing. It will be so confusing for our heads. But something will be birthed in the middle of something else that's completely different. And it cannot be controlled. But man does not... When I say man, I mean women as well. Am I allowed to say that anymore? I used to lecture at university. I'm not sure I was allowed to say that. Humanity cannot control the church. It's Jesus' church. And, something so wondrous and glorious is going on. So in this meeting right now, we're being lifted up on a mountain to see. You need to stand on mountains to be able to see. So he is El Elyon, God of the highest mountains. You realize that when Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth, he took him to a high point. He took him to a mountain, it says, where he could see all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I can give you all of these. Because when you're on a mountain, it's a perspective. But of course, a kingdom mountain is moving. This is crazy stuff. It's in motion. A mountain is a rising up. You know when you feel like you're rising up when you're praying? You're actually, what's going on? It's like accessing a mountain. You're being lifted up. It changes your perspective. You're coming to higher realms. Right at the end of Revelation, I was just reading it in the worship. You can look at it if you like. It's at the end. It's on the last page, first column, right-hand side. It says, it says that John was taken up by an angel to the very high mountain. Well, gosh, he was seeing a lot before this, but he's taken up to a very high mountain, and when he's taken up to the mountain, it's to see the bride. And he sees the new Jerusalem, which is written on your head. The new Jerusalem coming out of heaven to earth. Wow. He's on the highest mountain. He has the clearest perspective of what is going on this highest mountain. And what's happening, what's really happening in history? What's the pinnacle of what is happening? It's the new Jerusalem coming from heaven to earth, which somehow is us. Somehow, extraordinary way, that is what is going on. Amongst all the other activity underneath it, that is what is pressing in. Christ is being revealed in us, and we're one. We're one with him. That's why love is so important. That's love, because it's one active lump of love. It's the New Jerusalem is one active lump of love coming down and revealing itself. So whatever happens in the politics of the earth, this will come. This will come. Now that is extraordinary. And you're in that. Now, I don't know how much of this is making sense to you, and you've already clocked out on me, but something is happening in the room where you will go out of these 2 days with a different perspective on what church is. I do not mean your theology will have shifted in a way that you can articulate, but something changes, because the church does not have walls like we understand it. It's funny, isn't it? We drive around in a box. We live in boxes. We meet in boxes. We seem to love boxes. You know, even if in Africa we got good weather, there's boxes. It's amazing. We love boxes. Yeah. Whoa, but you weren't made for a box. Except kind of you are a box, because if you look at the Revelation, the New Jerusalem, you know the New Jerusalem? It's a box. However, it's transparent. And it is 1,300 miles wide. If they've got stadia right. 1,300 miles wide, square in each direction. Whoa. And it's transparent. It's made of jasper, it says on the outside, and it's transparent. And it has no hiddenness, totally open to each other, utter connection. You can't tell the difference. Wow, how do you say this in English without sounding like heretical? You can't tell the difference between us and God. It's like God has chosen to wear us as his perfume. It's like, let the weak say, I am strong. I am weak, but I'm strong. I'm not weak, I am weak. I'm a human, but I'm not, I'm strong. Whoa, how do you explain that? It's extraordinary. So where does that king's coming to your brightness happen? It doesn't happen in a box. It doesn't happen on the legal systems of man. It happens by kings recognizing something on you as you sit next to them on a train. It happens as you accidentally seem to be in the right place at the right time, like Forrest Gump. You're just there and you see something happening and you interact, whoa, and you affect stuff. I'll say this because you'll need to engage with this. I was praying for England. That's a good thing. England needs a lot of prayer. I found myself accidentally in Scotland on the night of the elections for the last government getting in, and I remember the Holy Spirit. I was wrestling through the night. It was about 1 o'clock, and the Holy Spirit was telling me no more coalition. And that was extraordinary, because everyone was saying, of course we're going to have a coalition. But I was hearing no coalition. So I'm declaring this into being. And I know I'm not the only one, far from it. We're just one. There's only one. So we're all doing it. There's other people, I know they're doing it. But we're going, no coalition. I don't understand politics. I'm not a I'm not, you know, signed up member. I'm just know there's no coalition. We've got to be given more time. I'm in Scotland. We've not long had the vote when I'm standing there as to whether Scotland is still part of the United Kingdom. Something, it's the shaking of boundaries. Something is coming loose, guys. And so we have to be ready for the loose that's going to happen to express it. So I'm going, no more coalition. And then I suddenly get tired at 1:30 and I just go to sleep. And I'm woken up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock, by something horrific comes in the room. This is great, isn't it? If, you know, you sign up for praise parties, and we will meet. Can I say this is allowed? No, you're not going to tell anyone this, are you? This is sick. We're still going to meet demonic stuff, no matter how full of the glory you are on this earth, because the demonic stuff's here. It's just, why submit to the fear? So this thing comes in, it's trying to intimidate me. It says, why are you here? Why are you here? Blah! You know what? Well, horrible, ugly thing. And I'm having fear reactions in my body, which is completely normal. It's not normal, but we think it's normal. My body's kicking off because it has all this DNA record of people dying in my past. And I know what death is like. So it's going, ah! So I'm shaking, I'm shivering. And as it's going, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your kids. I'm going to kill your wife. Like this, and I know the answer to this stuff is you just don't react, you just stare, you watch, you wait, because they get frustrated in the end. So after 3/4 of an hour of it attacking me, it stops and goes, "What do you want?" That's the next level. So I push through that one, and then eventually it lunges at me, and the Holy Spirit always says when it lunges, at you, "You've got it." So as it's lunging at me, I just go, Jesus! Like, I blew the mic up. And it's gone, and it's over, and I can go back to sleep. I get up, I discover that, well, we haven't got a coalition government. David Cameron is still in. I don't know what you think about David Cameron. I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. I've got no idea about his politics. I don't know. But I love the guy. And I'm holding in my heart. You cannot influence someone you don't hold in your heart. So I'm holding in my heart. I've got Angela Merkel in my heart as well. She's, well, we need to hold her in our heart. Something serious is shaking at this moment. Anyway, I've got David Cameron in my heart. So I go around with David Cameron all the time. In my heart, as well as a load of other people. And I go towards, I'm going on a train from Coventry to Birmingham, which is a 25-minute journey. But excuse my sadness. I like to have meetings in Birmingham, and this is the only chance I get to go first class on a train, is on a short journey from Coventry to Birmingham, because there's so much competition, it's really cheap. So I get to sit in the first class lounge and have my free coffee. And go to Birmingham, meet people in Birmingham. So you want to try it? No, everyone will do it now. I've told you that. Don't go and look at the price. It's scarily cheap. So I get to Birmingham. I'm meeting with my brother. I have lunch with him, and you know, speaking. You know, we pray. And I come back. I come back to the lounge. It's packed. In the lounge is loads of guys with squiggly wires coming out their ears. And I say to the woman at the desk, because you have to show them your ticket to let you in. I said, "What's going on here?" She says, "Ha." Okay, so I've come for my coffee, so I'm going for my coffee. As I go for my coffee, pushing past people, I reach a clearing, it's a table, and there's David Cameron sitting at the table drinking coffee. And everyone has left him like Billy No Mates. Don't let that out, it's too late, it's gone out. And because they're keeping him, and he's in the way of my coffee. And I'm going to get my coffee, because that's why I paid the extra money, to get the free coffee. So I'm actually in turmoil now, because I've got this poverty mentality remaining that says I must have my free coffee, and I've got fear of man active. That's David Cameron, and the poverty spirit wins. And I'm going, I'm having the coffee. So I push past him a bit, so Jim, and he goes, "Yeah, no problem." And so I get the coffee, and then I kind of have to sort of stand around. And I'm going, "This is this meant to be one of those powerful stories where I get a word of knowledge for him. You know, I sit down and tell him about his, you know, his grandpa and so on. So I go, and I know how to get words of knowledge. So I could stop and get a word of knowledge. So I thought, I'm just about to do this because I think that's what I'm supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit says, don't you dare. Now that's weird, isn't it? Because I could have got a word of knowledge. But the Holy Spirit says, don't. But I know I could. I'm going, why? Because I just want you to love him. This is not a story you can tell, but I am telling the story. But hopefully I'm telling it in a different way. I'm going, okay, I'll just stand near him. I can hear, I can pick up some of his thoughts, I can pick up what he's wrestling with, and I'm just standing there and praying for him. I also meet Gary Lineker, which was a bit of a shock, because Gary Lineker was there. And the first thing I say is, crisps. Anyway. But I drink my coffee, and then I have to get my train. And I go to get my train, and I get down the platform. They're on the same train. I didn't realise, because obviously Birmingham to Coventry, the next, you know, it goes on to London. They're going back to London. So, but I've gone on, you know, I, like an ordinary person, has gone down the thing, and I'm right at the wrong end of the track. I have to walk right up the other end, past the security guards again, who are now eyeing me, like, what's this guy doing? He's walking past us again. And there's David coming up. I have a friend who I've just made who knows David Cameron, would you believe? This is weird. So he's now texting me, telling me the name of his PA, saying, just shout out the name of his PA, and then you'll get to talk to him. And I'm thinking, and the Holy Spirit says, don't you dare. And I stand waiting, the train comes, get on. There's so many security guards, there is no seat in first class. On a Virgin Pendolino? That's extraordinary. Sound like a train spotter. Virgin Pendolinos have at least 4 first-class carriages usually. They're all full. And I had to say to the woman, I got nowhere to sit. I've got a first-class ticket, nowhere to sit. She says, I'll find you somewhere. So she takes me through the carriage into David Cameron's carriage. It's all got these red tags on the seats. I've never seen them before. It must be for really special people or something, like me, reserving the seat. And she says, sit there, right next to him. Not actually, but, you know, over the aisle. And the Holy Spirit says, don't you dare. And I just sat there, and I just let him into my heart. And it did something to me. And I'm saying that, now that makes, you know, I'm saying this from the front, makes me sound like a superstar or something. This is you. Because then I came away, and now he's even more in my heart. So some days later, I was suddenly in David Cameron's living room. I don't mean in my body, that would have been a bit scary, but in my spirit. And I'm with him, and I'm watching him cry. And his wife's hugging him, and they're talking about stuff. And I can hear what they're talking about. I could tell you the wallpaper if we had time. And I just pray with them. Well, I guess they don't know I'm praying, but I'm praying with them. It's in my heart. Now, there's something going on in this room for you because you're a nation changer. Now, let's demystify that. This is not nation states. When God says nations, he doesn't mean states, nation states, United Kingdom, France. He means people, families. God's interested in people, families, relationships. The English are a long chain of families. When he made Adam and Eve, he made a family, and he gave the family governmental influence over the whole world. And you're a nation, you're a family's changer, you're a relationship, you're a person changer. It is not, it's not about nation states, it's about the redemption of the seed line that God has been longing for. He's longing to reach out to the sons of Adam all the time. When he busts in to Abraham, he reached a family, eh? changed a family. Put it, but it says, you will bless all the families of the earth. That's what it says. Families. Nations is peoples, is families. That's you. That's you. It's got nothing to do with position in the world. And it also means, therefore, the people you influence. It's really got nothing to do with position as far as the world's concerned. God's after families. He's looking straight through the roles, uniforms, whatever people have, looks straight into their hearts, wants to reach them. Like he's pressing in on you, he's pressing in on you so you can be so full and drunk in his glory that that glory invades other people around you. And the reason you're here, part of the reason you're here is because you'll never be the same. You're going to influence nations, peoples, families at a higher degree because you've seen something at a higher level. And no one may have articulated it in English or in words, but something shifts over you and you're going to be different. People will treat you different. Are you ready for it? Are you really ready for it?
Yes.
Because in this, I perceive in this room, we have so many of us. Whoa, how do I word that in English? Waiting to be birthed into being mothers and fathers of those around us. Maybe some already doing it. You're probably already doing it to some measure. But if we, mother and father, you see, God is not interested in the boxes. Is interested in the peoples, the world, the peoples, all. He's not building a church system. It's a body. Whoa, it's a body. It's a family. Whoa, it's a family that blesses all the other families. Wow. Wherever that happens, he's not building the most professional organized charity in the world. That's a great system to have those things can be used. It's about what he's doing ultimately from the highest mountain, what he's doing. And you're part of it. So something is shifting. This is dangerous to have come here. Something is shifting. It has been shifting for a while, but you know, like Reformation takes a while to happen. Like, have we really got what Luther had, which is you're saved by faith, by grace through faith, not by works? It's still breaking, it's still hitting parts of the family. It's still not quite got there. It's taken that long to break it. But something is accelerating. And that means you carry the glory. You're a priest. There is the separation between who is up front and who sits in a seat is diminishing rapidly. Are you on board? It's diminishing rapidly. So you're in full-time ministry when you're sitting on the tube. You're in, well, this is extraordinary. Express that. So I'm watching the activity going on in the unseen as best as I can, and this is a dangerous place right now, because the spirit of the fear of the Lord will land on you and teach you how to walk without diminishing yourself. How dare you do that? How dare we call what God has redeemed low? Forgive us, Lord. False humility is just pride. And we start to walk into the fullness of who we are, him in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Wow. When we start to walk in that, and it's happening in the room now, which means you will be shaken in terms of where you think your limits are. Did you want those shakings to come? Woo! Wow. Oh. I'm still... I think... Could you help me? Could you just turn to someone next to you? I know we do that in meetings. I don't mean like religiously. How do you do that? I don't know. Just don't do it religiously. Turn to someone and just put your hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Pray for them for the revelation of Christ in them, the hope of glory to hit them more. Just see what words come into your head when you pray it. I'll give you a few more seconds. I'll give you, I don't know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. If I keep saying and say some crazy stuff, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me if I say some crazy stuff? Please try not to take offense. The offense really stops us learning. If you have any offense to anyone else in the body, it's a real... that's something that will sweep through you. If you have anyone that is in the body that you have offense towards, it will stop you drinking from the well that they have. And what God wants to do, he wants to cause us so that when we get together, we don't come to listen to one well, we all come to open up our own wells, and we drink from what each other's got. That is what is good. That's the only way we're going to have accelerated learning, why we need to have accelerated learning. There's one spirit that God hates in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I'm not going to tell you where exactly, because to be honest, I don't know. I have a problem ever since I was at... lecturing on theology, I discovered that all the numbers were put in by a French priest on the back of a horse. It's true. Most of that's true. So from then on, I took less serious note about the numbers because I thought they're just numbers, like a grid reference. And I find it much more helpful to know where it is visually on the page as long as I stick with the same Bible. And that is, Christ says this, the glorified risen Christ. Well, we're in him. Whoa, we're in the glorified risen Christ. You're in his body. He's in your body. You're in his body. His body is in the heavens, a glorified body. You're in his body. Whoa. His spirit is in your body. Whatever he can do in the resurrected body, he can do through you in your body. Whoa, that's coming. That's coming. It will mess with your DNA. It will shift you. That's why people are really interested in how they can live long. That's why there are some people spending billions of pounds to find out how to live forever, because they know we're meant to. They're longing for it. But you've got to have life if you're going to live forever. That's why God removed the tree of life. Imagine living constantly, endless time, stuck in sin. Whoa. No, I can't. So... Whoa, where was I? So Christ says, I have this against you. You have those who allow the Nicolaitan spirit amongst you. And the Nicolaitan spirit, it seems to be the power of some over others, power over people. It's like it's the separation between those at the front and everyone else. It's this idea that there's a special elite to rule over you. And what the problem is, this is what's coming is this engaging of everyone, and we have to at the same time learn what honor is, because if we don't know how to honor, we will just have rebellion. I'll say that again because it's worth £2 million. If we don't learn to honor, we will have chaos, rebellion. What do you call it when everyone does what they want to do? Anarchy. We will not receive everything we're meant to receive, because the ways of God are, there's a first and a second. The first receives in order to give to the second. So that requires the first to love, generously give, the second to receive with honor. That's Adam and Eve. First, loves. Second, honors and receives. The way it works. God first, Christ first, loves us second, honor, receive. Whoa. So then if we don't honor, we end up with anarchy, we end up with rebellion. And that prevents the rising up, of all of us as priests, as prophets, as kings. It leads to fragmentation. So God is going to teach us those two things, and he's already doing it. He's already teaching us who we are and how we can still be who we are and honor others being who they are. So if I carry the fullness, honoring you who carries the fullness, and honoring everyone else who carries the fullness, and learning and honoring together, wow, now that is love. That is love that learns how to operate like that, where no one is in control, but there is honor.
Yes.
Whoa, it's coming. It's in the room. Nards, it's in the room. You guys have birthed it more. By leaving this mic open, isn't that dangerous? We have to learn this because of what is coming. I'm telling you something that's relevant for 10, 15 years' time. We have to learn this because of what is coming. Because we will start to manifest the glory at another level. Healing is becoming normal. Healing, praying for people and seeing healing, it's becoming something that happens and it's becoming normal. We're going to see much greater things than that. We're going to see much greater things than what Jesus did. He said it. So resurrection will become normal. When that sort of power, did you want to come to a meeting? Whoa. When that sort of power starts to manifest, then the enemy will start to manifest, and we need to know the source. And so we need to be moving in the fullness of who we are with honor of one another to be able to deal with that. Wow. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. We're the ecclesia. That is Paul nicking a term. He steals a term from the Greeks for the governing body of the Greek culture, the ecclesia, the ones appointed by the people to be in charge, to make the decisions. Appointed by the people. They were the ecclesia. He's nicking a Greek term from his Hebraic thinking of the Sanhedrin, of a bench that had authority, that decided on the culture of what went on around them. That's who we are. We're culture setters. We carry the atmosphere of the kingdom. You first of all carry it in you, and then you release it around you. That's why it's so important that, first of all, it is in you, your relationships, your marriage, all your close relationships, and then you manifest it outside. Wow. So, this is a rubbish teaching. I know that. I'm not trying to teach. I'm rubbish at teaching. Ah, you have many teachers, few fathers. Lord. Well, we need, oh, we have teaching coming out of our ear holes. It's putting it in your being and living it and fathering others into it. All of us rising up into mothers and fathers. The whole point of the prophet, pastor, evangelist, apostle is to bring everyone to the fullness. So that those, dare I say it, it'll go on the internet, people will hate me, I'll get the emails. It's so they cease.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Prophecy ceases. Because when we're sons and daughters, oh, Jesus. And then the whole of creation starts to shift. I have weird stuff happening to me now. And it's becoming more and more normal. I went for a quiet time walk. I rarely do that. Well, I wouldn't call it a quiet time anyway. I call it a noisy time walk. I'm in Taunton, staying with my in-laws, and I go for a walk down to the canal, and some guinea fowl come out and start talking to me. And they hang around and just cluck to me. I don't know what sort. I can't do the noise. And I have a conversation with them. That's kind of normal. We have animals coming to our garden. It's kind of normal. It's weird. I've had foxes follow me as I'm jogging. I don't. that scared me. And I was trying to deal with the fear because I realized that the reason that they run from us is because of the predatory spirit. And if I undo a predatory spirit, the fear of fight and flight, then they come near. Now, nature will respond. And nature's already responding. You are meant to be climate changers. It sounds like a sermon, doesn't it? But it's not. You are climate changers. You change the environment around you. I taste it just a little bit. I mean, this is just the beginnings of it. Something happened to me on a ship 7 years ago where the Holy Spirit showed me the weather and how it works to some degree, as much as my brain could handle it. I had such a headache afterwards. It lasted for several hours. I had to take several ibuprofen to handle the headache because it was so, because I saw how the weather worked. As I had that revelation, I came up on the deck of the ship to teach. I had to teach. So I'm only half here teaching because I'm like, what was that I saw? And as I'm teaching, the ship crew are running around crazily. And so when we get to coffee break, which is great news because I'm hurt, my head's hurting, I need a break. And I stop the crew and I say, what are you doing? Why are you running around? He says, well, we're just weird weather. What do you mean? The weather, it's blowing. Now, I'm not a sailor. Starboard port? I don't know which way that is. He says, it's blowing one direction and it's blowing so hard that we're having to tighten up the anchor on the one side and loosen it on the other because we're ripping the dock up. So then, but the problem is, within a few minutes, it totally changes direction and comes exactly the opposite direction. So we have to go to the other side, tighten up or loosen that side and tighten the other side up or whatever it is. And we're still pulling the dock up. And he said to me, looked at me with fear in his eyes, and he said, the weird thing is, we're the only boat experiencing this. Not the ones next to us either side. And I'm going, oh my goodness, it's real. This Christianity is real. You are a son of the living God. I say that to all the women as well. You're sons. You are a son. This is real. We're not in a fire drill. It's real stuff. I found from then on, whenever I went on a trip with a team, the weather would change. I went to Finland and they said, I said, oh great, we're going to see some nice snow, aren't we? He said, it's April, it doesn't snow. We got there, it was thick with snow. And I said, wow, this is interesting, it's snow. This is, yeah, it's really unusual. But if it does, it goes within a day. It stayed all week. They had to put their winter tires back on to drive around. It's the weather shifts. I had this weird thing. Now, why? I'm saying this because this is you. This is you. I found if I was with the Holy Spirit in a certain way, I would hear the weather. Isn't that weird? I wrote in my journal once, because I thought, I'm going to test this. I heard, I could work out, somehow I knew, that on November the so-and-so, the jet stream would change over the UK and we would get unusually warm weather for November. So I wrote it in my journal. I put a note on my phone to ping me on that date. So my phone pings me. So I turn on, kid you not, I turned on Channel 4 News weather at that point, and they said, well, it seems the jet stream has changed direction and we will have unusually mild weather for the time of the year. We will probably have 14, 15 degrees, which is almost unheard of. But it will don't worry, it'll only last for 3 days. And it did. It only lasted for 3 days, which was good, because that's too warm in November. Don't you think? No. So why? Why? Because the earth is groaning. And it's waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And of course, it's Christ in us. You know, it's not about us on our own. We're not in independence. But you can't have you without Christ. You can't have Christ without you. We're utterly one. We yield to him. And he's utterly coming through us. That's what's coming. And it's happening in, wow. That will mess up the Isle of Wight's weather. Whoa. So what is this crazy thing? What am I talking about? I'm talking about something happening in the room where you're being shifted. You're shifted. Because the glory that's coming through you, are you getting it yet? It's real. It's real. The more you accept it, the more your life will start to line up with what Holy Spirit wants to do. The more you relax into it, the more you stop trying to make your life work and let him work it through you. Wow. The more you stop trying to make your life work, because he's the one who makes it work, his glory, whoa, it changes everything. I was on a plane from Scotland to Birmingham, and it was full of business people because it was a Friday night, and there was me dressed real casual. It's a Flybe flight, so there's no first class to get upgraded to, which is really disappointing. That's my lot. I only get these little planes now. And I get to sit next to the only other person who's not dressed in a suit, and it's a young woman. She must be about 27. She's stunningly good looking. This is a challenge, isn't it? You know, I'm on ministry, stunningly good looking. And what do I do? I'm supposed to be an evangelist, aren't I? I'm supposed to talk to people. I'm just rubbish at that. I found all the you know, people tell you techniques of what to do. They never seem to work for me. But I was sitting next to her, and I thought, if I talk to her, she's going to think I'm hitting on her. So how do I do this, Holy Spirit? If you want me to talk to her, if you don't give me a clear direction, I'm going to put my headphones on and go to sleep. I see she's got a fantastic tattoo. Oh, I said, oh, that's an evangelism technique, isn't it? I've heard that one. So I say to her, hey, you got a fantastic tattoo there. Does it mean anything? Because apparently tattoos mean things. She says to me, no. So I think, okay. Right, I'm just about to put my headphones on. And she goes, hey, where you from Birmingham? I said, yeah, I'm from Birmingham. And she says, what do you do? I said, well, I hate it when people ask me that question. Still not can't fully be me when people ask that. It's like, what do I have to try and stop calculating? Because it just sounds wrong to say missionary. So I'm not going to stop calculating. I go, well, that's difficult to explain. What do you do? And she goes, well, I'm a makeup artist. And I say, well, really? She says, yeah, I make up, you know, do the for movies, do you know, she was telling me the latest people like Kevin Costner and all these people that she's recently done makeup for. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. That's amazing. I wondered why you got such good makeup on, obviously, if you're a makeup artist. She says, yeah, and I could feel this little pinch of, is Desi like me? You know, do you know that pinch? And the Holy Spirit goes, just push through it. If you stop and tighten up there, you're playing into it. So I just pushed through it, because she's not a flesh being, she's a spirit being. It's not about the flesh anymore. We bring that under the control of the Holy Spirit, and you look to the spirit person. So I look and say, I said, well, no, I think there's something more interesting about you. You seem to have something about you. Because I could feel a spiritual sensitivity. And she says, what do you do then? Why do you think that? What do you do? I said, well, I help people have supernatural experiences. And she says, well, that's fascinating. Who do you do that for? Who? I said, for this worldwide charity that helps people. She says, tell me a supernatural story. So I start to tell her about angelic rescue in Egypt. So I start to say it. Well, for instance, in the Arab Spring, you know, story after story of angels rescuing people. She goes, angels, wow. She says, I'm really interested in spiritual stuff. And she said, I've had three relationships, and they always fail because they're not spiritual enough. The guys that I'm with, I'm looking for someone who's spiritually hungry. I can feel the pull again. But I go straight through that and say, well, yeah, I totally get that. You're hungry spiritually, but you ain't going to find that in a relationship like that. There's only one person who's going to help that. And, he's over the whole universe. And she said, who do you mean? I said, well, it's really hard to translate his name into English. It doesn't translate into English. It's more like, you know, one of these ancient languages, like the Sumerians or Hebrews. And she said, really? Well, what is it? And I said, it's Yeshua. And she goes, Jesus. Yeah. I went, yeah. Can you tell me about Jesus? I went, yeah. So I start to say, he's amazing. And we've landed now, and their seatbelt sign comes, click, click, everyone's taken their seatbelts off, and we're still talking, but the whole of the back of the plane is quiet, listening to this conversation, and we're still sitting down while they're all getting up, and they're all looking, and she says to me, what's your job title then? I said, well, I'm kind of a priest, and she said, would you bless me? I said, I'll bless you with Jesus. Would you like me to bless you with Jesus? She goes, yes, please. So as everyone's going, I said, let's stand up. Got her, because otherwise you can't fall over. Oh, sorry. I didn't tell her that. Oh, sorry, it's a bad joke. So I put my hand on her head. You know, everyone's watching, and she's fine with this. I put my hand on her head, and I start to say, Jesus, would you come on her life and show her that you're real? And she starts to shake. And there's some people staring, and there's others trying to get off the plane as quick as they can. And I run out of words and stop, and she goes, wow, what do I do now? I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't know. What do you do now? I don't know. We're about to get off the plane. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, just Google Yeshua. Find out all about him. She goes, wow, I'll do that, thank you. And she grabs my hand and shakes my hand and goes, thank you. Goes, oh, you're so welcome. And we go. Now, why say that? Because I want to release it in the room. Because I think I'm a rubbish evangelist. But as we start to shine, people will come to you. They will see what is on your life, whether they realize it or not. They'll see what is going on in us. If the more we drop our religious system ideas, the more we will carry that presence that is so attractive. It's called love, and love is a person. It's Jesus. It's the Trinity. When we carry, it's a person. It's a movement. when they see that, they go, whoa, what is that that you've got? I want it. When they see our warts as well, our warts and all, they'll go, wow, how you still do it with all those warts? Wow, that's just amazing. What is going on? Yeah, it's just flesh trying to kick it off. It's flesh trying to transform it. But there's glory within. That's what's going on. You're in this room because that is accelerating. Here it is. Now that's accelerating. It's too light. It's in the room. There's an angelic presence. Excuse me for saying this, but if I name it, it makes it worse. There's an angelic presence in the room, and his name is Acceleration. And it's active over your life. Did you want him to go deeper? Because if you say yes to this, you will enter a washing machine of process. You will enter. You will spin. Why do you think life is hard? Why are you surprised? As if something strange were happening to you. Does these words sound familiar? Why are you surprised that life is hard? As if something strange was happening to you. You're being transformed. In the process, the demons are going to come out the woodwork and come to you. They have to, because you'll start to carry authority. And they have to come and challenge you. And the weird thing for them is they get used to bring more depth of growth in you. Because they'll expose fear in you, which then God can work on. Wow. They'll expose stuff in you, which is a fantastic opportunity for you to be worked on. Why do you think something is strange? Have you come here for a nice life? Or have you come here to fulfill your scroll? Have you come here to fulfill your destiny, to walk out who you are, let it birth out? That is not going to be yippee-doo-da parties all the time. Inside it is. It's like, it's hard. Whoa, it's hard. Glory. Because if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Whoa, if you want glory, you have the suffering. Paul says this. This is weird. Paul says, oh, mate. Whoa. He says, my sufferings are for your glory. To the Philippians. What? He's weird. He's lost it. He says, I'd much rather go. He says, I'd much rather leave the body. I really would quite like it if they beheaded me. I'd rather go now, but I don't think I'm going because I'm staying here to build you up. How about that for a reason for staying alive? It's not because he enjoys sitting and having his coffee at 11 o'clock in the morning in the sun in his nice garden. It's because he's here to father and mother people. That's why he's still there. Otherwise, he said, I'd much rather go. I'll tell you, man, I was in Eden for some hours. The weird thing is you can be like in Eden for hours when you're like 2 minutes on the earth. I was in Eden and I felt the grass and I smelt the smells, and I ate fruit, and I talked to beings, and my head was messed up, and I loved it, and I looked a fool because I knew the answer to nothing. They would ask me questions, and I wandered, and I saw rivers, and I met people, and if I told you who I thought they were, you'd think I was crazy, and I experienced God's heart for the whole world by putting my hand inside a river. It almost caused me to explode, and all of this experience at the end of it, I thought, I don't want to come back. I want to stay, honestly thought, I want to stay here. It's only because my kids flashed in front of me and my wife flashed in front of me that I thought, it's worth going back. I just thought of Catherine for a minute, of what it would be like if she came into the office in the morning and I wasn't there and she couldn't work out where I'd gone. So I thought, I'm coming back. I felt the grass. It's real, guys. It's real. But we're hoodwinked by this flesh. We have this flesh veil on us, which makes physical reality seem so real to us, more real than anything else. It's so not that way. So, oh boy, I've wittered on. But something is shifting in you. So there's a vibration going on in you right now because I've said that, because of that presence and because of the assignment on this lampstand here, this... This expression of the body here still has the lampstand. My goodness, you guard the lampstand with everything within you. Wow. Which enables it to carry a fathering anointing on a certain aspect of what God has called it to do. And that is to equip people to be a body of all priests, everyone a priest. It's here. Yeah. Jesus, yes, yes, all priests. Oh, that's what Moses said. I long that everyone was a prophet. Wow. It's everyone. So it's on you. Now, this will mess with your theology down the line. I'm sorry. Leadership, we're going to need a complete reformation of what leadership is. Complete reformation. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be hardest for the leaders. It's in the room. It's going to mess with how you see things. It's going to mess with all of us in that what you thought you can get from a leader, the tendency of that Nicolaitan spirit to draw from leadership. Like, you're my covering. You have only one covering. His name is Christ. What does that look like then? I don't know. I haven't got the English for it. But you are a well. You are a well. So there are shepherds. But you're a well. Wow. Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. There's glory in the room. It's Thelma's fault. It's Thelma's fault because of what she preached about who we are. Wasn't that extraordinary? And it's set a foundation. Who wants to... We have to do a transaction. We have to trade. We have to receive from God and yield back. That is the ways of God. It's love and honor. It has to go on. Do you want to walk out of the box? I don't know what that will mean for you. But church isn't in a box. There is no system of man that can hold ecclesia. It's a body. Whoa. I'm not saying don't have a charity. Please hear me. Oh, why did I have to say that? But it's so much more. How about what is coming? Where we all, Holy Spirit flash bombs. Where we all are in the right place at the right time, working together, singing the same song that's spontaneous and made up, and we all made it up on the spot at the same time, singing the same words with the same tune. And we all agree to meet in the spirit, and we're there, and we go, hi, I never met you in the flesh before. Good to see you. Glad you got the message. That's it. Where's the person we meant to meet? Oh, there they are. Whoa. It's coming. And it comes as we yield. So if you want to come out of the box, so what does that mean? I don't know. I can't articulate it for you, but it's where you go, God, I overwhelm what I thought it was to be a believer and to be in the body. Overwhelm it. We will not argue about theology anymore when we see. Like the guy who's healed, he says, I don't know. I can't answer all your questions. All I know is I was blind, now I see. Mm. It's like Paul. You know, Paul got his theology from a blinding white light on the back of a horse as he went to Damascus. Blinding white light meets him, says, "I'm Jesus." And he couldn't argue with him. Mm. Whoa. When we see, there's no more theology. And I honor theology. It's good to think. It's good to think. Got to throw that in. It's good to think. But there's something coming. So if you want to come out of the box, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I think we have to do? I'm not in control. But how about you yield how you thought you were supposed to do life? Even your nationality, the structure that you think is leadership within you and receiving from, why about laying all of that on the ground and saying, Holy Spirit, thank you for what you've taught me so far. Take me so much deeper. Wow. If you do this, you may lose some sleep. You may lose some sleep. You may see some scriptures in a completely new light. Well, there it is. There's a spirit of revelation all over the room right now. If that's you, whoa. If you want that, can I invite you, whatever way you do, maybe you want to kneel, maybe you want to stand, you do whatever you want to do to engage with God. Here I am. I want to come out of the box to another level and operate with you in me at another level with love and honor, with love and honor, with love and honor. Why don't you just do that, whether that's, do whatever you need to do physically to engage, whether that's put your hands together or stand up or kneel. Or, whoa. And what do you say from your heart? You have an anointing as a priest of the order of Melchizedek. Whoa. Have you worked out why Abraham met Melchizedek yet? He was looking for the heavenly city. He was looking for a heavenly city, and it wasn't in the promised land. He went to the promised land, couldn't find the heavenly city. So he meets Melchizedek, who is the king and priest of Jerusalem. The king and priest of another city, a different city. That's the order that you're in. You stand up in your, or kneel, or whatever, respond in your authority now. And from your heart, go, Lord, here I am. I want to step out. Forgive me for where I've accepted a box that's safe. I want to move out to another level. Break the boundaries to another level. Break it out. Say whatever you need to say from your heart. Whatever's engaged with you. Excuse me for the noise. Just going to make a noise just to warn you. Whoa. Wow. Jesus. We exchange our strength for your strength now, Lord. Exchange our strength, our understanding for your understanding, your strength.
Holy Spirit, utter reliance on you. That's normal. We were never meant to rely on our own energies. Rely on totally on your energies. We step into that pool, that energy, that generator of grace and power that you are, Holy Spirit. We step into that. Whoa. Total. Whoa. We want to step full more into reliance on you. Transforming us now, right now, spinning, transforming us, moving around, stirring on the inside like a wooden spoon in our belly, stirring, engaging, shifting us. Now, we totally rely on you. We move into, we step out of the box and we fall and yield into you, your strength, your grace. Whoa. Ha! Here he is. Someone said about a healing anointing, it's coming right now. There's an oil coming to soothe where you think you've been defined by rejection or abandonment or fear. It's the oil is coming right now that is not your root. It's not where you're from. Whoa. You're from the future. You've received the future already. Your debt is to the future. You're in debt to the future. Yes. So you're stepping into what you already have right now. Whoa. It's been given to you in the future. It's now. There's food allergies lifting right now. Someone's got a food allergy. There it is. There. So gluten allergy, that overreaction to gluten. Stop! Whoa. Someone has restriction in their heart, physical heart. I think it's like the veins around your heart, like angina or something like that, restriction on the heart. Just put your hand on your heart if that's you. Healing in Jesus' name right now. The opening up of your heart. The time to fulfill your scroll. Whoa. Still here. Who's had kidney problems? Who's had kidney problems? Who's that? Can someone just put your hand on her kidneys? Is that okay? We just loose healing now in Jesus' name. Renal problems come right now in Jesus' name. Be healed. You're going to carry families in your heart if you want this. You're going to carry nations, families, your street, your town, families. Just going to be drawn to people, whether it's in prayer or whether it's talking and loving them. You're going to be drawn. If you want that, it's here in the room right now to share God's heart. To share God's heart. I speak to your heart to expand now.
stretch, 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 stretch. You might see faces right now. Faces of people you know, faces of people you don't know. Stretch, stretch, stretch. Young people, stretch. Older people, stretch. Wow. I know I've forced us to keep going for quite a while. You guys have been amazing.